This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, a new program to reduce domestic violence. First up, looking to make a substantial difference in your community, but you're not sure where to start? Movement Makers is a day-long event to help you learn how to turn your ideas into real change. This year's Idea Lab will also serve as a launching point for a multi-week celebration called the People's Liberty Intermission to mark the halfway point for the organization's five-year pilot program. Joining us to discuss Idea Lab, Movement Makers, and People's Liberty Intermission are Design Impact Social and Civic Innovation Specialist and newly elected Cincinnati Council member Tamaya Denard, Springboard for the Arts Associate Director Carl Atiyah Swanson, Soapbox Media Publisher Patrice Watson, and Vice President and Senior Program Manager with the Carol Ann and Ralph V. Hale Jr. U.S. Bank Foundation and CEO of People's Liberty, Eric Abner. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks to everybody for joining me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
And Tamaya, congratulations on getting elected to City Council.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How's it feel?
Pretty good. It's
pretty amazing.
It's been a lot of hard work. So
it's been
really
a whirlwind, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been crazy, but it's good to see the hard work pay off.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you would like to join our conversation. And Patrice, give us the idea. What's the idea behind Idea Lab?
Yes. Well, as any good idea, starts with a conversation, probably over a cup of coffee. And Eric and a member of his team and a member of my team, we were talking about how could we broaden the appeal for Idea Lab by making it more inclusive of just people, regular people. You know, it doesn't have to, you don't have to be a philanthropist. You don't have to be the recipient of a grant, but that there are people with really great ideas that are inspired and passionate, but don't necessarily have the system for, well, how do we get it out there? How do we grow it? How do we share it? How do we get it so that it could be sustainable, that it could really produce some meaningful results? And there's some really good big international programs out there. You know, this month, there's a lot of men growing mustaches. You know, the Movember movement is a really fun movement, but serious fundraising capacity for tackling men's prostate cancer. So we've got like really interesting things that are happening out of just a passionate idea. So we looked at what are Soapbox readers interested in? Well, they're interested in community, placemaking, historic preservation, arts and culture, inclusion, diversity. These are like really powerful subjects for them. So we're very excited. We found three presenters who are coming from Cleveland, Minneapolis, and Detroit that really have experience and best practices and great stories to share with our attendees on December the 4th.
So, Eric, the idea behind this is, how do you start a movement? Well, first off, how you define a movement?
Well, I don't know. I think we were just looking for ways to engage more people in our community. I think with People's Liberty, we have a limited number of grants a year, but we get to hear so many incredible ideas with people with passion and have been working with Soapbox for a long time and just trying to figure out, okay, what can we do to get more people in the game? What can we get open the doors and provide more connections and more resources and more training and more opportunity to more people? And I think that we stumbled on this idea that one person doing one little thing isn't going to change it, but sometimes those snowball into, there's now a group of people doing it and a bigger group of people, and then all of a sudden it becomes this movement. It becomes just something that people want to join into. And I think it was really amorphous. It was really hard to explain, as we're trying to struggle with here. But I think when you see it, you feel it, you know it, and we needed more of those. We wanted to see if we could encourage more of those in Cincinnati. And so we figured, well, let's bring some people who really know what they're doing and have had some experience with this, and let's open the doors and see what the conversation leads to.
Tamaya, how's the environment in Cincinnati for creating social innovation, for getting movements started? How do you see it?
I mean, it's ripe. I mean, one thing that you understand is that there's less and less capacity for government to do things, and so it's become a movement to see more citizens get involved. I mean, it's my core belief that people who are most impacted by an issue have to be the ones to help you design your way out of that issue. And what we're seeing is that people are feeling like we can't always focus on what we don't have, but let's accentuate our assets. And so it's really exciting to see Cincinnati with People's Liberty and Centrifuge and Design Impact, but a bunch of organizations coming together and saying, hey, you know, we want to be a part of the solution.
So Patrice Tamaya says that the area is very ripe for this. Is that how you see it as well?
Well, we are reporting about movements much like you are every day, about people who are doing really incredible things and people leading initiatives. So, we were just commenting about, you know, movements that maybe we take a little bit for granted now. But, you know, back in the day when Artworks said we have this vision of having a mural on a blighted property and the difference that it could make in that community, people said, interesting idea. And now we're, you know, into our almost third decade of having this beautiful city based on a movement that is all inclusive of community and learning. And so we have some great history for very effective movements here.
So this is what, the second Idea Lab?
It is, yeah. Okay. It's a second one.
The first one was about philanthropy, right, if I'm remembering right.
It was really helping to explain a bit of the model of People's Liberty about funding individuals versus funding nonprofits. One thing we learned last year was that this incredible group of people came together to hear our speakers, and they really enjoyed spending time together. So we wanted to make sure that this year we have plenty of time for people to network, and then in the afternoon we'll do some immersive workshops where we'll have, we have three local facilitators, of which Tamaya is one, who are going to work with our national presenters. So maybe we should tell a little bit about the people who are coming in first.
We should probably start get Carl involved.
Absolutely.
At this point, since he's going to be one of the speakers. And Carl, you're part of Springboard for the Arts. You also were one of the founders of Creative Exchange. Tell us about what you're involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to be coming out to Cincinnati. So Springboard for the Arts is a 26-year-old artist-led nonprofit that works around building professional skills and resources and development for artists to make a living and a life. And we have offices in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Fergus Falls, Minnesota, so an urban and a rural context for the work that we do. And our work is really about what do artists bring to community and what does the community need to be able to work with its artists, and how can we be facilitating networks and connections in that way. About 4 years ago, we launched Creative Exchange, which is sort of a national extension of our work, where we can do both sort of the editorial storytelling around what artists are doing, so pointing to the people who might not get attention otherwise or might not get funding otherwise, but to say, look, there's creative capacity in every community, on every block, in every neighborhood, if you are expansive about the way that you think about the arts and their impact. So we get to share that story at Creative Exchange. And then we wanted to share toolkits for both our programs, and we've got community development programming around artist-led creative placemaking, how business districts can work with artists, taking from some of the other movements that are out there, the local food movement, the community-supported agriculture model. We've transposed that to community-supported art, so how do you commission artists to make work and then sell editions of those works? And we wanted to take those resources that we knew we had developed and we had put into practice in the field, and then what we were seeing as our peers and our partners developing their programs, and wanted to turn those resources into toolkits so that other people can then take and replicate them. So if you look at Creative Exchange, which is at springboardexchange.org, you'll find this great mix of storytelling around this expansive idea of artists and their impact in community, and then practical toolkits for everything from sort of small projects that an individual can do to large-scale business skills for artists classes and creative placemaking projects that involve multiple stakeholders and bring people together to think about the challenges and issues in their community.
Carl, how much work and how much effort did it take to start the Creative Exchange and to start the Springboard for the Arts? How much work goes into getting movements like those going?
Yeah, so it's we were fortunate enough to be supported by the Knight Foundation to help launch it. We did launch it in partnership with Issue Media Group, and so having partners on board to help really launch that has been really useful and really wonderful. It's an interesting question because Creative Exchange both seeks to advance the movement of local arts and culture and is also a product of the movement of local arts and culture. So the two things really feed off each other. The more work that we do in sharing toolkits and helping individuals see their creative capacity and finding new projects to support, the more stories we have to tell about these things. And so the thing, it's a virtuous cycle of the things reinforcing each other. So it's a lot of work, and we definitely see sort of a natural relationship with the way that the local food movement has developed. Now, farm to table is a concept that everybody knows and understands, but that wasn't true 10 years ago. And in our work, we've always really been focused around working with local artists who are the artists in a community. Like that same point about, you know, people who are impacted need to be the people that are part of the solution. Artists are in every community, so let's talk about working with our local artists and valuing our local creative capacity.
And Patrice, who are the other speakers that are going to be at the event?
Yeah, in the morning, Sean Mann is coming from Detroit, and Sean is the unique combination of a raving soccer fan and public policy guy, and he single-handedly, really, started what is now a 1,000-person football amateur league in Detroit, but with a handful of friends started a semi-pro FC, is it Detroit City FC? Detroit City FC. And what they realized is they needed a stadium to play in, and there was a pretty incredible stadium in Detroit that was built during the WPA that had fallen into the hands of basically afternoon soccer teams and kind of disarray, and they ended up creating the largest crowdfunding initiative in the state of Michigan to renovate the stadium so that they have a dedicated soccer stadium. So I really think that's going to be timely to hear Sean's story. And then from Cleveland, from a group called Cleveland Neighborhood Progress, which Cleveland Neighborhood Progress does work very similar to our CDC associations here in Cincinnati. And they have an initiative called the Racial Diversity and Inclusion Initiative. And the two speakers are Evelyn Burnett and Mordecai Cargill. And they are going to talk about what they are calling the 2017 year of really introducing this initiative throughout Northeast Ohio. And the concept is really that in order to be more impactful in creating real meaningful diversity and inclusion is to train more people with skills. So they are moving through multiple counties in Northeast Ohio to build more capacity and more people who are able to implement these systems throughout all kinds of either public and private sector. So should be really interesting and really on point with the work that we're doing here in Cincinnati with Diversity by Design.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. A big hit on the field sidelines your child, and it's a frightening moment for parents. How do you know if it's a concussion? Tomorrow on Cincinnati Edition, the latest research and prevention, plus a surprising study on girls and concussions. If you have any questions, email us talk@wvxu.org. Joining us this afternoon to discuss Idea Lab, Movement Makers, and People's Liberty Intermission, our design impact social and civic innovation and specialist and newly elected City of Cincinnati Council member Tamaya Denard, Springboard for the Arts Associate Director Carl Atiyah Swanson, Soapbox Media Publisher Patrice Watson, and Vice President and Senior Program Manager with the Carol Ann and Ralph V. Hale Jr. U.S. Bank Foundation and CEO of People's Liberty, Eric Avner. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Eric, you have intermission coming up. Mm-hmm. People's Liberty has reached, the halfway point of its five-year pilot?
Yeah, People's Liberty was designed as an experiment. We just wanted to see what would happen if we gave opportunity to people and to pursue their ideas in the city And it was initially designed 5 years. And wouldn't you know it, we're 2.5 years in already. So we thought we would take a chance to take this chance to sort of take a breath, break for a second, think about what we've done so far and start thinking about what's next even. So we created this basically a celebration called Intermission. We're starting it this Thursday night at People's Liberty with the unveiling of our new storefront installation, which basically summarizes everything we've done so far. And then for the next month, we have 20 of our grantees who are producing some kind of event in our space every day. So there was 20 days of programming, PL20 we're calling it, and that's extending all the way to the middle of December. So like plintermission.com is where all of the summaries of all the different events that are going on, reminders about when things are happening, a download of a program about what we're doing. So it's a little chance to celebrate, take stock of what we've done, and share it with the community, and then get geared up to finish strong with another 2.5 years of work at People's Liberty.
So in the first 2.5 years, what have you accomplished?
I think it's, I don't know if it's, we've, I don't know if we've created a movement, but I think we've demonstrated that there's an incredible passion in this community. People have ideas of what they want to do in their neighborhoods, and they are hungry for opportunity, hungry for people to listen, hungry for a connection to be made, and yeah, a little bit of money to help implement these ideas, but the connections and the camaraderie and just the almost permission to go off and do these projects in their community, make a difference is remarkable. And I think we assumed that there was this energy in the community, but just every time we open up another grant round, there's just more and more and more ideas. And it's been completely amazing to us. And then from a foundation perspective, just to try out a different model of grant making where we normally, we get in our rut about here are the organizations we fund and here's the programs we fund, to completely mix that up and to say, okay, let's listen to people for a while and individuals and see what they want to do. And it's affecting our normal work at the foundation.
How many different ideas and programs have you funded at this point?
I think we're up to 55 Wow. grantees now, and we've actually hired 25 young creatives who've come to work for us for a period of 3 to 6 months to do our storytelling, do our design work. So we're hiring people every quarter. We're giving new grants away every quarter, and then like the next one coming up is the Big Hail Fellowship that opens up in January already. So we're looking for the next two people who want to take a civic sabbatical and take a year to do a project with $100,000. So that's every quarter there's something new coming up.
Now, to my design impact, you take a really interesting approach. You're using design principles mm-hmm. for creating social innovation. And tell us some more about that.
It's super cool because typically or historically design has only been seen in the private sector. You know, a lot of private corporations use design, but we thought our founders, Ramsey Ford and Kay Hanisian, Ramsey's a product designer, and Kay was working in the social sector, and they thought, well, what if we take this process that you're using to refine this product, but use it in the social space? And that's been really cool and interesting. So, you know, you take the process of the design of your going to a coffee shop. It's a very design where you stand, putting your name on a cup, standing in a certain place, that's a very design process. A lot of people don't really think about it, but you take that and you think about your experience at the DMV, which is not a design process, but you stand in line and you need a service. So the difference between those two is that one is designed and one isn't, and one's more pleasant and one isn't. So it's really thinking about how do you infuse design and also giving permission for organizations to be more creative in their approach. Oftentimes they're so mired in a challenge and a problem, they only have a hammer. So maybe they see every problem as a nail, but we give them permission to kind of step back and say, let's, you know, be more creative. We're giving you permission to be more creative in your approach. Our design is not necessarily to solve an issue, but to really give people the tools that it takes to be more creative in their approach to that issue and hopefully come out on the other side with a better solution.
Now, how much of the design approach to Tamaya is teaching people to understand that if you fail the first time, it's not a big deal?
You
just keep going.
You do. You really have to stress that because we've been taught our whole lives that failure is bad and failure is wrong, when in actuality, failure is the best thing that can happen to you. One thing that we find a lot, particularly as we're working with organizations, is one thing that you don't want to do is use a whole lot of money and your limited resources on a solution that isn't the answer. So we try to encourage organizations to fail fast and fail cheap. And so let's test your assumption and make sure this really is what you need to be doing. We've saved a lot of people a lot of money just because we want to encourage people to figure out if this is the right road. And if it's not, failure is good. It's the best thing that can ever happen to you in the design space.
Patrice, what as far as IdeaLab goes, what do you tell people about getting started? What would be your suggestion for a starting point? Do we have a lot of opportunities to get involved in movements in Cincinnati where people can get their start that way and get their ideas that way? Is that the kind of environment we have?
Well, that's asking the same question about getting involved. You know, you could get involved with your neighborhood, your neighborhood group and your local community development group. There's a lot of opportunities on a community level, but it just takes kind of stepping up and saying, I'm interested. You know, what can I do? Here are some of the skills that I have. And I love seeing these applications of people that are taking their third career and they're, suddenly involved in bringing healthy food to Walnut Hills, or there's just really great ways that people can take the skills that they have and the passion that they have, and they can make them work on a local level.
Mm-hmm. Erica, what would you say as far as do we have a lot of opportunities here in Cincinnati to become involved in various different movements?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I think the biggest thing is if you're going to figure out where to start, come to IdeaLab. That's a good place to start. Get inspired. Talk to some people who've gotten one of our grants, somebody who's run for office perhaps, maybe even not even been successful running for office. I think there's something about just trying and getting involved, getting the game. And it may not even be your own brilliant idea. It could be just like help somebody else with maybe their idea just to get what it feels like to be involved. With what we're seeing and how many grants we're giving, we're not even scratching the surface. So we ended up looking around the community about, are there other funding opportunities for people who wanted to take an idea to fruition? And so there's this whole website called youshouldapply.org. And if you go there, there must be 20 different funding sources for small grants for people who want to get something done in the community. And it could be around a particular part of town or a particular demographic or whatever. There's a lot of opportunity out there. But I think the biggest thing is to start. We had a friend of mine a long time ago. We were talking about a sort of a barstool rule that we couldn't sit and talk about the same thing twice without having done something about it. So you couldn't complain about it a second time until you tried to do something about it. And I think getting up off the couch and trying and starting. And there's a lot of people who are willing to help, a lot of funding out there that could be applied for this type of work. And a lot of people who are willing to make connections and open up doors for you. Just ask.
The one of the things I love about being in Cincinnati is that if you want to get involved, it's just small enough where you can get involved. If you're passionate about an idea, there's access to IdeaLab and People's Liberty, and there's opportunity. Whereas some of the other larger cities, you can't do that. So we're in a very good place to be big enough to be a world-class city, but small enough where you can just jump in where you can.
And Carl, what would your advice be for somebody who's looking to get involved or start a movement?
Yeah, I just want to echo those same sentiments that there's, being in the Twin Cities, as in Cincinnati, it's big enough to have a lot of connections and a lot of opportunities, small enough to actually jump in and do something. What I really love and what I've learned a lot in doing this work and sharing toolkits and making resources accessible and trying to build these networks is that it's a lot about the reciprocal relationship and not as much about sort of the transactional thing that we're going to do right now. So come to IdeaLab, have some ideas of things you want to do, but also just meet people, because the thing that's really going to be impactful is something that will catch you by surprise a year down the road when you run back into somebody or when you gestated on an idea for long enough to really be able to engage people in it. And that's what's really exciting about sharing these toolkits that we're doing through Creative Exchange. Sometimes people directly replicate the program that we have there. But what I'm really more excited by is when I hear stories back of, oh, yeah, I read your thing. We didn't do it exactly, but it sparked another conversation with someone else in my neighborhood or someone else in my department, and now we're doing something totally different together. So that seeing it for the long term and for the reciprocal relationship, and not just for we're doing a thing and then that's over, because that's really how community exists. We build things together. We build movements together for the long haul, and not just over a one-time transaction or a one-time event.
Thank you to everybody for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having
me. Thanks, Mark.
Design Impact Social and Civic Innovation Specialist and newly elected Cincinnati Council Member Tamaya Denard, Springboard for the Arts Associate Director Carl Atiyah Swanson, Soapbox Media Publisher Patrice Watson, and Vice President and Senior Program Manager with the Carol Ann and Ralph V. Hale Jr. U.S. Bank Foundation and CEO of People's Liberty, Eric Avner.